dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday program. Let's get the particulars out of the way. I'm Doug Duda, along with Big Daddy Tony Davis, along with our producer, engineer, Derek Stenson. Glad to have you along with us. The phone number, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And the Debt Popper inbox for all of your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Towards the bottom of the hour, Greg Shea, the president of the Tri-City Storm, will stop by and talk about home events going on this week. We're going to party on the pond a little bit. We're also going to have a couple of home games. USHL All-Star game is tomorrow, so we'll talk a little hockey, and Greg will be in at the bottom of the hour to talk about that. But obviously, there's only one story to talk about today, and Daddy, you know what that is.
Well, Kelly Kulick winning the PBA for the first time ever. That's just amazing. A woman could step up, defeated Chris Barnes yesterday, 265 to 195.
70 pins. 70 pins.
Oh, she took home $40,000 and a two-year PBA Tour exemption. She's a 32-year-old right-hander, folks. Oh, yeah, this is news. Previous best finish for a woman in the PBA event was second by Liz Johnson. That's back in 05. So, congratulations, Kelly. That is really the news that broke this weekend. And
where's she from? Does it say there?
She is from Union, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right. Probably a Jets fan.
Most likely.
So there you go. The national. Well, and again, she gets in because she won a world women's championship, and then amazing that she was able to go through all that you have to go through and win that. So yeah, that was one of the things that'll kind of get swept under the rug, except in the bowling community. Nebraska women's bowling should be ready to go here in no time as well. But Daddy. It's all about who's made it to the Super Bowl. I would like to say I was 2-for-2 against the spread, so 2-0 over the weekend. You, not so much. 1-1. 1-1. So there.
No, I think I was 0-for-2.
Were you 0-for-2? Did you take the JETS?
Yeah, I said they would, and he would win, but not cover.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Good thing we don't have any investment in any of this, because why would we? Why would we want to be right?
You know, I just think there was such. Well, the drive before half, which he says, get the ball to Austin Colley three times, three plays. Took them four plays on that drive. Jets hadn't done that all year. So they cut the lead 17-6, 17-13. So then you come out the second half, and I really think, forget the drive at the end of the half. You got to put that behind you. You still got the lead by four. You're on the road. You've been playing well, other than that four-play drive. You come out, you attempt a long field goal. And right then, Doug, we're watching the game together. I said, boy, this just kills you if you miss this field goal, because you give them the ball there in such great field position where you've got the number one ranked defense. You get a defensive-minded coach, which that's something I don't understand. I think you got to take your punter, or you know what, you get the kicker out there. Have the holder toss it back and let him try and run a punt down there somewhere inside the, you know, inside the 15 to the 10 yard line, and say, okay, Peyton, we gave up the four play drive, let's see you do it again here. You give him a shorter field and it's just over, and Peyton Manning good enough to just take over the game.
Well, here's my initial thought on all that happened yesterday. The two best teams are not playing in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. The two best football teams are not playing in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. And I think everything up and down the line, just throw out all the crap of, well, what the scoreboard says. Let's face it. Minnesota was a better football team yesterday. 5 turnovers to 1, that's the bottom line. There was some questionable calls on both sides. On both sides in this football game, especially the horrid pass interference in overtime that set them up in field goal range. Now, they lose 5 the very next play, but they end up, you know, getting in and getting that. But still, when you set it up and give them, that's just one of them. And I'm not blaming it all on officiating, but boy, the officiating was a lot better in game one than it was in game two yesterday. There were some really bad calls in game two yesterday. But for Minnesota to do what they did, they were a better team than they are a better overall team than New Orleans. The Saints won yesterday. They play 10 times. Minnesota wins 8.
No, Doug, I don't.
Tony, they played at New Orleans yesterday. They played at New Orleans
yesterday. Judging by the game yesterday, there were several though, which is great for the Minnesota defense. How many 3rd-and-1 and 3rd-and-2s that you expected that the Saints got all year long that they just didn't convert? Now, give credit to the defense.
No. Here, I'm going to come back at you with this. And I've got so many ways to go here. A, shouldn't Sean Payton been? He could have been the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, let's remember that. Yeah. How did Drew Brees have so much time yesterday and Tony Romo didn't? Now, this take away your hatred as a Dallas Cowboy fan if you're out there. Pretend it was the New York Giants. Pick another team. Take away the hatred for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going as a pro Dallas Cowboy fan here.
You said this during the game yesterday.
Yeah. How? I mean, seriously, the Dallas offensive line is better than the Saints offensive line. Most NFL pundits and experts would say that. No problem. So what did Minnesota do different? Did they even? Was Jared Allen in the game yesterday? Did they show him? Did he make a tackle? Did he do anything? Is the coaching, is the O-line coaching that much better? Which could be. You get that extra week to see what they did to Dallas, and you were able to combat it a little bit. But Drew Brees shouldn't have had near that much time. He had a ton of time, especially as the game moved on. Deeper into the game we got, it seemed like the more time he had to make decisions, which we never saw Tony Romo have last week. So anyway, that's part of it. And I'm just saying, if Brees had time to throw, Minnesota had 4 more turnovers, and the game went to overtime in New Orleans? You can't tell me New Orleans is a better football team. New Orleans should have blown them out. Should have won by 17 points. And they went to overtime to win. They should have got beat. Favre throws the interception. We don't know that he makes a field goal. It's still going to be over a 40-yard field goal. We don't know that Ryan Longwell's going to make it. Remember the last time the Vikings had a kick to go to the Super Bowl? No. They missed a 25 or 27-yarder. So there's no certainties, and the kickers have just been pathetic for all teams in the playoffs.
The thing that's going to leave a lasting taste in your mouth, and I hope Brett Favre comes back again. Derek hates Brett Favre, does not want to see that. You got the text messages, got phone calls at the end of the game yesterday. You know, that's fine, whatever side of the fence you're on. The bad part about Brett Favre is, and folks, if you want to chime in on this, more than happy to take your phone call, 1-888-455-3776. I'm telling you, people are going to not remember the 27 touchdowns. They're not going to remember the 27-7, 27-8, you know, season that he had this year. They're going to remember the throw in overtime against the Giants, which propelled them to a title. They're going to remember the throw across the body to the middle of the field, which was just absolutely inexcusable when he had it looked like 6, 8, 10 yards, which he could have ran, slid down, taken a timeout. Longwell bangs it. Now, he's won a Super Bowl, so you can't. It's not a Dan Marino deal, which the guy came back to win a Super Bowl. He's already done that. He's already set, you know, he's broke the playoff passing record. He's already done that. He's already held, I don't know, 35 NFL records that are wonderful, wonderful things throughout his career. But isn't when you think of Brett Favre, and maybe this is just your lasting memory, if this is the way he goes out, it was a terrible throw against the Giants, which they won, 23-20 in overtime when they went on to beat New England, or 26-23 or something like that. And then yesterday, to have the ability, you got to think Longwell was going to make the kick. Now, maybe he wouldn't have. Yeah, well, that's, you know, the whole other story. But people are going to remember the throw across the body, which he's a gunslinger. That's his mentality. He gotten away with a lot of those throws, but he didn't get away with it yesterday.
But they talked about this a little bit on the shows, Mike and Mike, this morning, and ESPN, and all the television and radio, and a little bit what's in the paper. This is what will set Brett Favre apart from the great quarterbacks of all time, is because he did, for some reason, at the age of 40, make that decision. I mean, you can't make that decision. What's one of the first things in high school they teach you? You can't throw back across the middle of the field. I don't care if you are an all-pro.
If you're Joe Flacco, it's acceptable. If you're Sanchez, it's acceptable.
Well, it's going to be a young mistake.
Exactly.
Not for Brett Favre. And he holds all these records. He has the most interceptions. He has the most postseason interceptions. This is why he has just one Super Bowl in many people's minds. And he will be way down the list on some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Brett Favre, people, I think, like Brett Favre. He's a everyday guy. He's a blue-collar guy. He didn't play for any ritzy New York or L.A. team. I mean, the Jets last year, whatever. But, I mean, he's a Packer. He played for the Vikings, you know, played for Southern Miss. I mean, he didn't play anywhere that was all media all the time. And so people can relate with that. He's gutty. He has the long streak of consecutive starts. People relate to that. People can root for him. For that reason. But when you continue to, I mean, Peyton Manning, much better. Dan, I mean, Brett Favre, right now, I'm sure that people could probably list 20 quarterbacks that are better than Brett Favre in their career. I mean, and you're going all the way back to Y.A. Tittle or you know, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana. And then it'll get down there to, you know, is he better than Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach? You know, I mean, I think that's kind of where you would put him in the category. One, he's got nice records, one Super Bowl. Well, and he has only been to two.
But for all those nice records, you mentioned the other records, which he also holds. You know, the career interception. And granted, some of that comes from him playing longer than 98% of all other quarterbacks. You know, as far as he played a hell of a lot more games, they had a lot more opportunities to get interceptions.
Well,
but they also say he did some dumb things during those games too.
And I think that game will totally overshadow what happened in the first game yesterday, where for a half you had to wonder, can the Jets pull this off? But the second half, we found out the better team. That was the difference yesterday. The better team stepped up and won the football game. In the second half yesterday of the second game, the Vikings kept turning the football over.
Well, and if New Orleans could have got on, you know, those balls are bouncing around. Very seldom do they hop back up to people, like happened a couple times yesterday to the Vikings. I mean, when you've got somebody on your back and the ball lands in your chest and you happen to come down on top of the ball, you know, Bill Callahan, you say, the ball ain't round. It doesn't bounce the way it's supposed to a lot of the time.
You just quoted and referenced Bill Callahan.
Well, I'm so happy when his ass got bounced out of the playoffs yesterday. You know, see him stand over there on the sideline. The Jets held to 86 yards of rushing yesterday, I believe. One of the lowest totals of the year. So that was nice to see.
The line opens up for the Super Bowl, Indianapolis by 4. Right now, you can walk into the Hilton and its properties at Las Vegas, and it is 5.5 already. Now, you can find 4.5 to 5.5, depending on where you go in Vegas. See, unusual that there's a full point differential just by going from one casino to another in Las Vegas. Right now, Monday, January 25th, we're 13 days away from the Super Bowl. You've got $1 million. The only thing you have to do to make $2 million is put it on one of these two teams. Who do you have?
I've got the New Orleans Saints.
And why is that?
Because I think the lasting impression, and I'm just going off the public perception yesterday, is they should have lost the game.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know,
we can't use the national championship game in college because of the Colt McCoy thing, but it didn't happen to work out that way. Alabama won and covered. Boy, I don't know. Indianapolis finds a way to win a lot of close games. Let's face it, yesterday that should have probably been a 6-point game.
I talked to one of our buddies this morning, Doug, that likes to follow those line movement stuff. He thinks that the way that early money came it's going to keep coming. And he thinks that early money, the way it pushed up and the way Peyton Manning looked, he thinks this game could get up to 6, 6.5, even 7 points.
Last year, didn't it go up before it came down?
Yeah.
Doesn't it usually do that? It hits one way. It'll come down a little bit at some point. Maybe it'll climb up to 6.
But
right now, the bottom line is it's going to be somewhere between 5 and 7. So it's... You're not talking a field goal. You're also not talking a touchdown. So that's a comfortable margin for Las Vegas to move the line between 5 and 7.
Plus, you got to remember, 5's a dead number for Vegas. Once it gets off of 4, between 4 and 6, that's a pretty free move. Very seldom does the game end up 25-20. I mean, you can start getting to 6 and 7. Now, then they start.
You know, 3 to 3.5, 7 to 7.5, those are major moves when it comes to the line. And we'll catch up with Mike Perenio, the director of the Racing Sportsbook at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas again coming up. The game almost went under.
Also expecting Dan Parr from Pro Football Weekly on Wednesday. So
talk a little Super Bowl. All right, that'll be great. That'll be awesome.
I really want to ask, you know, a couple of those guys that cover the NFL and are at games every week that – to sit up in a press box and next to people saying, "How do you like the Pro Bowl being, you know, in front of that? What's the thought press going on?" You're going to be in South Beach for, let's be honest, those guys will get there to cover the Pro Bowl, I would say, Wednesday, Thursday of this week. I mean, they'll take a couple of days off where everybody's traveling, but they're going to be in Miami for 10, 11 days.
Darn it.
Well, but
that's got to hurt. Well, you can't make an opinion until it's over, can you?
I don't know.
Right now, I think it's a good change. Now, it may not pan out to be a good change, but it's not the next week. It's not 3 more weeks away. It's not 3 more. It'd be 3 weeks from yesterday until they go to Hawaii and play. So most of the guys should still be in decent football mode. You'll lose the guys that are playing in the Super Bowl. Big whoop. Big whoop. And you'll play in Miami. Somebody asked me yesterday, what happens if it just pours in Miami once again like it did the last Super Bowl? What if it would pour in Miami for the Pro Bowl, and then you got a game the next week? I don't think it'd make any difference, because to the person that asked me that, they laid down a whole new surface at the Rose Bowl after they played the Rose Bowl before the national championship game. They probably, of course, you know, it wasn't soaking wet when they pulled it up to put it down. I don't think that would be a major problem.
I guess if I'm going to the Pro Bowl and because I can't afford, and I think that's a lot of people, you know what? I'm going to the Pro Bowl because I can't afford the ticket to the, you know, the Super Bowl is ridiculous and not the ordinary guy gets to go. But I think an ordinary guy can probably afford the Pro Bowl, and maybe there's quite a bit less interest in that. But I'd be pretty disappointed, I got to say, Doug, that you don't get to see Peyton Manning, you don't get to see Drew Brees, obviously because they're playing. You don't think that makes a big deal?
Well, how much do they play in the real game? A quarter? Quarter and a half?
I'm just saying, you go to see the NFL stars. And you're not getting to see two of the major NFL stars doing it this way. I think that would be a letdown.
Well, it's just like instead of having U2 and The Who perform in Super Bowl week, you get, you know, Rick Astley.
And LaToya Jackson.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we'll get to your emails. All you have to do is shoot them off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll also talk with the president of the Tri-City Storm, the czar that is, in his new Doug and Daddy t-shirt. I didn't know we had any that size. We'll talk with Greg Shea right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Has the value of your investment portfolio declined? Of course it has. Are you nervous or concerned about your portfolio and your current advisor relationship? Of course you are. Enough is enough. It's time for a change. It's time for an unbiased second opinion. Hi, I'm Matt Westfall with CenterPoint Wealth Management in Grand Island. At CenterPoint Wealth, we use 3 independent resources to analyze your holdings. We evaluate performance, annual cost, company overlap, and standard deviation. If you've reached the enough is enough stage, it's time. It's time for a serious critique. Bring us your statements and we'll deliver an analysis that you can use right now. Call 398-1174. Or visit our website at centerpointwealth.com. That's CENTRE.wealth.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. CenterPoint Wealth Management and Securities America companies are not affiliated.
Laughter really is good medicine. At Northridge Senior Living Community in Kearney, we believe sharing good times with friends is an important part of a healthy lifestyle. Northridge offers retirement living and assisted living all on one beautiful campus. Personal care and services are tailored to the needs of each individual, and your small pet is always welcome. Call 308-698-5410 today for your personal tour and see how the Northridge lifestyle will enhance your retirement years. Find us on the web at northridgeslc.com. Don't forget to ask about our move-in specials.
Hey guys, I know you don't have a Valentine's Day gift yet. You probably haven't even thought about it. I'm Emily Gates from Styles Unlimited in Hastings, and I've got some great Valentine's Day packages. Enjoy a couple's pedicure, haircut, and style, or a day at the salon for her may be just what she wants. Either could be the perfect gift this year, and packages start at only $25. That's with me, Emily Gates, at Styles Unlimited, 103 North Hastings. Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember at Styles Unlimited in downtown Hastings.
Welcome to Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, sir. How can I help
you? There's something stuck in my defroster. Can you help me get it out of there?
Don't worry. Our factory certified technicians can handle any problem. Do you know what's stuck?
Yeah, I stopped short when my neighbor's dog ran out and my burger went flying.
I see. Swiss mushroom.
Oh, yeah.
From oil changes to full engine swaps, Midway Service and Parts Department is the state-of-the-art shop you need. Go to thinkmidway.com on South 2nd Avenue next to Perkins and Kearney. For service and parts you can trust, think Midway.
ISP's Big East Mondays features one of the league's fiercest rivalries. The fifth-ranked Syracuse Orange. Wrapping to the right wing, now pulls up to the top of the circle for three. He got it again! And the number 12, Georgetown Hoyas.
Monroe splits a double team and jams it down with two hands.
Look out!
Join us Monday night at 5:45 for Syracuse and Georgetown from the Carrier Dome. The best college basketball is on ISP, America's home for college sports.
Monday night on ESPN Radio.
A wind advisory remains in effect for the area today as will stay mainly cloudy with some flurries and snow showers possible. Temperatures will stay around the upper 20s for highs with northwest winds of 15 to 35 miles per hour. Back to 11 tonight, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 25.
Street.
You know the picture they showed in the fourth quarter, how dead? Have you ever saw it that quiet? I believe was a quote during the game with Joe Buck uttered. I would have loved to have saw it after that.
Well, they showed it. They showed them starting to file out onto the streets and coming out of the bars and getting out of the Superdome and coming to, and it was backing up and filling the street and filling the street. So they did.
Yeah, from the Superdome to Bourbon Street, and being there, I would say is about six or eight city blocks. So it's relatively close. It's not like you have to get in a car and drive from Kearney to halfway to Grand Island or something. It's relatively close.
I think you will agree. It's relatively close. Walking to sober.
Okay, yes.
So most of the people in New Orleans, kind of a long walk. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Mark in Minden says, that's the typical Favre gunslinger mentality. He thinks he can make that throw every time. He's shown that throughout his career. Now we go to Rusty and Lamar, which I love. Even though Favre made a cardinal sin in throwing back across the field after he had rolled out, but when seeing the replay from behind the receivers, it looked as the Viking wideout didn't come back towards the ball either. I don't think that would have mattered. Now, there was one earlier in the ball game where Rice ran right behind the D-back on a slant route, and you're going, huh? I mean, it should have been picked, and it wasn't picked. It was one of the few that New Orleans dropped on defense.
You know, there's a couple passes out there that people are, you know, he threw into double coverage. You know, there's just a couple great throws out there. Berrien made the one catch on the outside. The guy didn't get turned around, and the other guy was a little bit late. But you know what? Think about the throw Peyton Manning made, the 46-yarder to Austin Collie down the middle of the field. If that's 6 inches shorter, it gets knocked away. If it's 6 inches longer, the defensive back probably has a chance to pick it off, and the ball gets batted down. So those guys are good enough that they're fitting the ball into tight windows. You know, say, yeah, they threw it into double coverage, but he thought he had something, obviously. Derek, jerk.
Well,
I was here a little bit earlier, Doug, and Derek just totally tearing Favre apart.
You hate Favre?
What do you want me to do?
You hate Favre, or you hate what happened yesterday, or you hate the one play?
Well, there's a, just a, I hate everything right now, but Favre is up on top. But you got, you cannot play the whole season. You knew this was coming with Favre. He had a, such a great season, but you knew, you saw glimpses of it throughout the season where he just makes weird throws, and he's rolling out to that right side last night, and I'm thinking, oh, he's just going to run for a couple yards, slide, they're going to kick the field goal and win it. I saw that ball leave his hand, and I just thought, ooh, mistake. And really, before that play, he threw the ball to Jabari Greer. If Greer could catch the ball, game would have been over right there.
Well, that's the, I think that's what I'm talking about, where the wide receiver, for some reason, went behind him. And the pass was behind everybody, and Greer just couldn't hang on.
Yeah, it hit him right in the numbers, and he just couldn't hang on to it. But I mean, you know, that receiver behind the other guy, but that's not a ball you should throw in that situation.
President of the Tri-City Storm, Greg Shea, is here. Todd Gatula, his entourage, chauffeur here as well. What do you think, Greg? Saints, Colts.
Well, I'm disappointed. I grew up a Viking, so I go back to the Fran Tarkington days, Sammy White. All the boys from the Purple People Eater machine. It was tough. It was tough. And I, you know what? That's the far. You're talking about that pass. You know, that's Brett Favre, though. He tries to make those passes, and he completes it. He's a hero. He doesn't, and it goes the other direction. And I guess I'm just used to it being a Vikings fan. I didn't expect to win the game. I thought we'd be right there on the, you know, I thought we had a shot, but I expected we'd probably throw it away somehow, and we did. So Saints and Colts, and I guess, you know, let's have the Saints win it. I mean, why not?
That's cool. You know, one thing, too, I mean, Drew Brees did roll out to throw a pass when they were in field goal range on the last play before the field goal, so they weren't exactly sitting on it either. So interesting as we get ready for Super Bowl 44. We've got a lot of things going on with the Tri-City Storm, and the president, Greg Shea, joins us here in studio. We're going to be inside. We're going to be outside. We've got some home games to talk about. We've got a game on television coming up this weekend. And speaking of television, I've got to ask you, how's your Zumba?
How's my Zumba? Oh, goodness. Mine's fine. Thank you for asking.
I saw some of the folks getting in shape this morning. Tony, I think this is something you ought to pick up on.
Really?
I don't have anything to do with that aspect of... I don't have anything to do with Zumba. I'm good for Zumba, good for the other person in my family that is important to them, because if she's happy with Zumba, then everybody's happy. So
maybe the hockey team ought to try. We should have Zumba night during an intermission.
Okay, back it up and slow it. What is Zumba?
Remember back when you were a kid, there was a program on cable. Zumba is it's Latin aerobics. Tony, it's Latin aerobics, I think.
Mama Shea takes care of it. We're
gonna, I don't know.
Talk
you'd have to ask. You'd have to ask Sinai on that one. I don't. I've never participated. I just know that it's a good excuse for her to tell me that she's got to go to Florida to be certified at another level of Zumba, or she's got to go to another place to be further certified. I think it's she's found an outlet to travel on.
We all need outlets.
Yeah.
I think you'd look good doing it, Daddy.
You want to go to Cabo sometime?
If I could get, if that's what it would take and I could get certified, then I would go.
Well, let's talk a little hockey. We'll get back on track here. Greg, you got a lot of things going on this week. Let's start at the beginning and work our way to the weekend. One of the new promotions you have, we're going to be outside this week. Tell us a little bit about pregame on the pond.
I'm looking at Tony's reaction right now. He's reading the press release that came out of our office. I guess I would start by saying this is all part of an initiative created by USA Hockey in 2008 called Hockey Weekend Across America, by where the governing body of hockey in our country is really encouraged the local association, the teams of all levels across this country to participate in the promotion of the sport. That and it leads into the start of the Olympics, and the Olympics, of course, here just a couple of weeks away, and we're going to see a lot of hockey and you know, ice-related events. And so we, about 3 weeks ago, sat down and we've, you know, to my knowledge, had never really taken an active role in the initiative on the local level, and decided, you know, we're going to look outside of the box. We're going to do some things, and we're also at the midway of our season and trying to, you know, push the envelope a little bit, rebuild a product that's been here for 10 years, and what better way than taking it maybe back to where the game was probably first played, and that's outdoors. As crazy as it sounds, we're gonna do a pregame event at Yanny Park on Thursday night, starting 6 o'clock, and we'll be on site, as they say, before the big weekend at home, when we move it back indoors with a game against Fargo on Friday and a game against Sioux City on Saturday.
What should we expect? Are we going to have like an exhibition game? Is it going to be more like a practice? What should fans expect when they come out to watch?
Yeah. Well, what you're going to see, they're going to do some scrimmaging, probably a 4-on-4 type scrimmage. Much of what you would see in an actual pond hockey tournament, you know, where it's the thing about pond hockey, there's no backdrop. You lose the puck, it goes forever. You know, I mean, so you don't take slap shots, you don't do that. It's an opportunity. The guys really, from a skill standpoint, have to hang on to the puck to the very end. And true pond hockey, they play with a very low level goal or even a wooden box that you have to stuff the puck into to score. And so we're going to do some scrimmaging. If it goes as planned, we'll have the coach mic'd up with a remote mic, so he can talk about some of our players, some of the pond hockey. I mean, I asked him when we were looking at doing this, his perspective and really kind of his blessing to say, what do you think about disrupting the week and taking our team outdoors? And coach said, whatever we can do. And of course, he started to relay his first experience of hockey was when he was 2 or 3 up in Saskatchewan, when his dad put skates on him, shoved him out the back door, and, you know, the way he goes. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of our players, as Todd would tell you, he took some of the players out last week for a little photo shoot, and they were skating all over the place. Now, this will be a controlled deal, a little scrimmaging, then we're going to do some drills, and at the little surprise, a few surprises here and there at the end, and our goal at this point is to involve some of the youth hockey players at the very end. So it's really an opportunity for the whole, you know, anybody, you know, hey, you're curious, we want you to come out. If you're a hockey fan, we want you to come out. It's for everybody. We're going to have hot chocolate on hand. We'll have portable lighting. If you're wondering how we're going to do this, we've not done this. So I mean, we certainly are going to probably have a few sleepless nights between here and Thursday, you don't know until you try.
Obviously, once you say a new experience, then the kids get back on the home ice Friday and Saturday nights, finally. I think you can say that from a general manager standpoint. Finally, it seems like been gone for a long time. There hasn't been much going on as far as hockey at the event center, and coming off a couple good wins.
We're right in the thick of it. For a team that won 11 games last year, we're right in the thick of it. We're a couple of games over 500. As you mentioned, 2 big wins on the road. I talked to our assistant coach, Eric Fink, this morning, and he said, if that doesn't speak character about this club, he said we were dead tired on Saturday. He said, deep down, he goes, I don't think there was any of us thought we could win the game. Down 3 goals, come back, tie the game, send it to overtime, goes into a shootout, and of course Jaden Schwartz, who hadn't scored, hadn't had an assist up to that point, scores in the shootout to continue his streak. I think that you can tell there's a real bounce in their step. This is a young, I hate to say young team because they're all young, but especially young team. This is a team that's only got 3 players now that played at this level a year ago. Here, I should say, there's some guys on this team from other squads, but 3 guys that play together here. So, and they're close. You can tell even this morning where they had the day off. They were there. I mean, they're ready to go. They know they've got an opportunity with a couple of home games. The schedule's going to turn in our favor. We got one more big trip to go, where we've got to go to Green Bay here in a couple of weeks. And Green Bay's right now the second best record in the league. We're not looking that far ahead. We're looking to the Fargo game and the Sioux City game and this weekend ahead. But you can sense that these guys know that if they play well together, they may not be the most talented, but they can overcome that by playing as a total team, and they did it this weekend against Indiana.
Greg Shea is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show talking a little Storm hockey. Not only you have home hockey, but a couple of players are going to be in the USHL All-Star game tomorrow night.
You bet. Jaden Schwartz will be suited up tomorrow night. Radoslav Ilo will be suited up. So we'll have a couple of representatives in the USHL All-Star game, which is really quite a spectacle for this league. And we haven't had it here. We don't know if we'll ever have it here. But I can tell you, having been to some of those, and it's a little bit different than your typical All-Star game. Ilo asked me the other day, he goes, so is this going to be like the NHL All-Star game where there's no hitting and, you know, it'll be fairly high scoring, but there's some guys still playing for a draft position. Most of the guys that'll be suited up tomorrow night have already have given their commitment to, or signed their commitment for a Division I scholarship, but there's never less than about 125 or so pro scouts at these games, and so the guys will step it up and they'll lay some hits. It won't be your typical All-Star game, in that they know that they're still playing for that potential draft position. So it's an important game. It's an important game for our league. There'll be a lot of new people at the table as we are expanding. Our league's going to expand by a couple of teams next year. They just announced that we're going back into Dubuque, Iowa.
The Fighting Saints, Tony.
The Fighting Saints. Hey.
Fighting Saints. They're trying to pick up on some mojo.
That's right. The Fighting Saints. There's a team also going into Michigan. Forgive me for thinking. What did we say? Muskegee?
Muskogee.
I don't know my Michigan Muskogee's geography.
Oklahoma. That's right, Chet. It's in Oklahoma.
Problem is, everything's going east of here. We need to find a team west of here.
And you think with Denver, I mean, you think with the Mountain States, or, you know, there'd be something pop up, but nothing has.
Well, all the power in our ownership is all in the east. I mean, and it's really what it comes down to. If you're on that side, you don't want to travel any further than you have to, and so we don't have much power over here. We're the furthest team to the west. We certainly have had conversations with people in Colorado, people in Wyoming, Montana. You know, even at one point, I remember having a conversation with people in Rapid City. I mean, that would even feel close versus going to Indianapolis. That's for another day, another story. I'm sorry we got off the subject there.
We were talking Dubuque.
Dubuque.
I think we wrapped up the All-Star.
Lovely
game.
This time of year.
Lovely place to go. A lot of lovely places in the USHL to go this time of year.
I guess the one thing we haven't specifically, we talked about the big weekend coming up, but actually going to be on TV Saturday night.
TV. Well, two things I want to touch real quick, if I can. One, we're also hosting a AAA midget level hockey tournament here this weekend, so we'll have four teams in town, free of charge. Come on out and we'll fill you in on that. But you're right. The game on Saturday night is going to be televised on Fox 4 and 17, which is our local Fox affiliate. Has a huge coverage area. Stretches from the edge of Lancaster County on the east side all the way over to the Colorado border. Our plan of action on this, the reason we've had people say, well, if you're not filling the seats, why would you want to televise? I guess you could say we're pulling out as many stops as we can from a marketing standpoint. We think it's all part of the bigger picture. I want people at the games, but I also know there's a lot of people out there that have heard about us that haven't given us a chance, and hopefully we can put a product on television Saturday night that they can say, wow, I need to come check that out. It's the telecast itself. There will be, during intermissions, a lot of behind-the-scenes type of features. And so I think that you're going to get a different perspective, a more it isn't going to be so hockey-heavy during the intermissions that you might get on a regular hockey telecast or a regular sports telecast. So it's as much a telecast as it is a commercial for us on Saturday night. We want you to be there in person, though.
Are you doing sidelines?
I was just thinking, I had no idea we could get that many midgets together to have four teams worth.
That's good.
I think it'd be a hoot. I really do.
What time's that get going this weekend? Good Lord.
I did not get attached to that.
Sorry.
If we just ignore him, he'll go away.
I'm so sorry.
So we have, I'm going to try to go over the top of this one now. We have four teams coming in. And if you're thinking, what is this tournament? I'll stay away from what he just referred to it as. a lot of the same. It's the same age for the most part, except all these players will be under 18. These are really future players. Mr. Brooks owns another team called the Nevada All-Stars. They'll be one of the teams coming in to play in the tournament, the Dallas Alliance. Omaha Maver- the Mavericks have an association, and they have what is a AAA level team. It's the highest level you can play before you, you go on and play junior hockey. And then there's a team from Colorado Springs. There's three games on Friday, three on Saturday, and two on Sunday. It starts at 8 a.m. on Friday, 8 a.m. on Saturday, and then 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's free. Come on out. Lots of hockey, that's for sure.
Speaking about traffic, you know, you were worried about
these are regular-sized people, by the way. I want to clarify that.
No verdict.
Just so.
I would just, you know, we're talking about travel in our league. When you got teams in Las Vegas, Dallas, what's the travel like for these teams? I mean, is it,
it's worse.
Yeah,
it's worse. So. They play in a league. It's the highest level of AAA midget hockey that you can play, and the league itself. If you looked at those teams in Alaska, I mean, it is. They're all-star teams. I mean, they're really all-star teams, all with the mission of hoping to play at the next level, the tier one junior level. And well, of course, that means that they're playing in the USHL, or they go play major junior out on the coast, the West Coast, and in Canada. And, we certainly have two of those players on our team from the Nevada team right now. The Kenny Brooks and Stephen Bolton are both off of that team, but. The travel's crazy. I mean, I think it'll be a good weekend for Kearney in that you've got, you know, these four teams in here. It'll be a little economic impact boost, which we hope to do. Not only is it important for us to do this, but we want to see how we handle a tournament type situation because we've not really done much like that in this building before.
Greg, so. You're talking about the TV getting more people interested. For fans out there that have not saw the Storm, people to get interested. You mentioned the two All-Stars. I think it's fair and safe to say that Jaden Schwartz, if everybody in this league was put into a pool, he would be the number one overall pick, no matter what team had that draft pick. Is that right? Number one or two?
Okay. He's going to be right up there. It, you know, it really depends, like any draft. Doesn't matter the sport. It depends on the day, that particular day, on what that team who's taken needs. You know, and he's definitely... all we can say right now is what we've been told, and he's projected to be a first-round draft choice. And, you know, first round, second round, I guess, to me, yeah, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. But, we talk about it a lot, and I think we need to talk about it a lot because I don't know that we don't know when we'll ever have another player of that caliber that will come through here. You know, we certainly had players of high level that have gone on and gotten some time in the NHL, but we've never had a prospect like that on our team. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays tomorrow with the rest of this all-star cast at the USHL level, and it will have impact on his positioning in the draft.
It is a big week for the Storm as we head into that. We're into the second half of the season, but a lot more home games coming up tomorrow night. The USHL All-Star Game, which is in Indianapolis. Thursday, it is pregame on the pond, which is going on at Yanny Park. So make sure you get out and enjoy that. It starts at 6 o'clock. Then home games against Fargo on Friday, Sioux City on Saturday. Saturday's game televised on the Fox Sports Network, and we'll be giving you a chance to win some tickets to the home games for the Storm here throughout the week as well. Greg Shea, anything, and the midget tournament coming up this week as well.
Yeah, the midget tournament, that one.
Youth hockey tournament.
Thank you.
This weekend.
I want to say thanks. I appreciate the work that you guys do. Enjoy it. Enjoy being a part of the show from time to time. And, come out and check us out. We'd love to have you.
All right, let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll talk a little bit more and hit the emails. They're rolling in on Favre and really how dumb I am.
Thanks for the T-shirt, by the way.
There you go. It looks good. Wear that all day, would you?
I will be wearing it all day.
We'll take a break back after this.
This is my way to learn Spanish.
This is my way to learn French.
My way to learn Russian.
Russian.
Italian.
Japanese.
My way.
My way.
Chinese.
My way to learn a foreign language.
The best way to learn a foreign language is your way. Rosetta Stone invites you to try absolutely free a software program developed around the way you think and the way you learn, the same way you learned your first language. In fact, it's been recognized as the fastest, easiest way to learn a language, guaranteed.
It's totally my way to learn Spanish.
No classrooms, no boring drills, no useless memorization. It's a learning program that works around you, not the other way around. And right now, you can try it absolutely, positively free with a free demo CD-ROM.
Free. That's definitely my way.
Try Rosetta Stone for free by calling 1-800-335-1656. 1-800-335-1656. For your free demo, call 1-800-335-1656.
The Chicken Coop doesn't mess around. Every Wednesday from 5 to 10, burger and fries for $5. Now that's any burger off the menu. That's any burger you want. 7-ounce ground chuck burger, cheeseburger, mushroom burger, bacon burger, even the Totally Jack burger. And for just $5. If you've had their burgers, you know this is a great deal. If you haven't, don't miss this deal. Every Wednesday from 5 to 10 p.m., burger and fries for $5. The Chicken Coop. They don't mess around. Downtown Kearney and downtown Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
A wind advisory remains in effect for the area today as we'll stay mainly cloudy with some flurries and snow showers possible. Temperatures will stay around the upper 20s for highs with northwest winds of 15 to 35 miles per hour. Back to 11 tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 25.
Here we go. And I'm not, this is where we're at, though. We're all playing New Orleans stuff, and there's no Indianapolis stuff.
I'm just saying,
don't you think that that's where we're going to be for quite a while? For most of this week, the talk's going to be about the Saints.
Back home again in Indiana. And it seems
it's much slower. It's much wider. It's Indianapolis.
To the Dent Popper inbox. Joe and Carney says, guys, Brett Favre is 40 years old. He can't do everything by himself. Let's not forget that if Adrian Peterson just hangs on to the ball, maybe the Vikings are not in that position and have the lead in that game easy. Why does this rest on Favre's shoulders? He was the only reason they were in the game, and Peterson did not do his part in that game. And in playoff football, you need everyone to contribute. I think Adrian needs to walk with the football in his hands during the entire offseason. Kind of like the program, Joe in Kearney. I don't think we ever said it was Brett Favre's fault.
No.
I flat out said Minnesota was the better football team if you joined us at the top of the program.
Well, Berrien dropped one on the 7-yard line as well, which
fumbled, caught and fumbled.
Yeah.
Now Aaron and Kearney, again, also not listening. Are you kidding me, Doug? You cannot actually think that Romo and the Cowboys would have beat the Saints yesterday. No way, not possible. Did I say that? Did I even infer that?
I love it.
Drew Brees is a winner, and he would have sat back in the pocket just like he did yesterday and picked apart the Cowboys' secondary. You said that isn't your fandom shining through, but it is. You are skewered in your thinking, and then the Saints defense would have forced turnover just like they did yesterday. I'm talking about how Minnesota played against Dallas, and Tony Romo had 1.5 seconds at best sometimes to throw the football, and Drew Brees was not pressured at all yesterday. I said Dallas's offensive line, according to the experts, is better than New Orleans' offensive line. I'm just pointing out facts here, Aaron, and I never said anything about the Cowboys being able to beat the Saints. My point was,
although the Cowboys did beat the Saints easily earlier in the year.
Yeah, Aaron, they did beat the Saints. So 13-0 went to 13-1. Thank you, Daddy, for picking that one up there as well. So there! And being a Packers fan, I've never, ever rooted for the Vikings, but as I watched that game yesterday, I found myself rooting for Favre. He looked like a younger, smarter version of himself. He looked like the Packers quarterback I once rooted for 58.5 minutes, and then, boom! He ripped the hearts out of the Vikings fans, good old Brett Favre, Aaron and Carney. You know what? They talk about conspiracy theories. What if Brett Favre, how classic would this have been? He's running to the locker room. He rips off his Minnesota Vikings jersey. It has a Green Bay Packers jersey in it. He says, suck it, Minnesota. You didn't make it again. The only reason he wanted to be a Viking is so he could stick it to them the best way he knew how. What do you think about that?
I think you're nuts.
Let's take a break.
Hey, wait a minute. We got one more. This comes from our friend Lumpy Douglas, who happened to be watching football with us yesterday.
El Conquistador?
This is El Conquistador. He says, does Doug have any comment on jinxing the Jets and Favre with that sweet T-shirt he wore yesterday? He says, please tell Doug to take off the Van Halen T-shirt before the brand breaks up.
Yeah, I had a Jets Brett Favre T-shirt on yesterday. I figured since I wear a cowboy one every Sunday, I had something different to dig out of the pile. I had to go deep to find that baby as well. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Taco Bell presents another Taco Novella. On this episode, the new 89-cent beefy five-layer burrito.
Senorita Maria.
Yes.
I'm not the man you fell in love with. I'm his twin brother.
What will you tell me next? This beefy five-layer burrito wasn't really 89 cents?
I'd never lie about an amazing deal like this. Seasoned beef, melty cheese, and layer upon layer of the good stuff.
Oh, Blake.
It's Drake.
Think outside the barn.
At participating locations for a limited time, prices may vary, tax extra.
Are you a technology professional looking for a new job? Stop wasting time on general job sites, sifting through listings that are not relevant to you. Go to Dice.com. For over 17 years, Dice, the number one technology job board, has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Go to Dice.com to find tens of thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, system administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
The kids want to go out to play, the dog wants to run around the yard, and you want a beautiful looking lawn. We're BioGreen, and you should get to know us for residential and commercial lawn service. At BioGreen, we use all natural products so we can treat your yard and you can enjoy it right away. Fertilization, landscape nutrition, let BioGreen spray and you can play. Ask us about weed control. Call 308-708-1747 or log on to BioGreen.com. Serving the Tri-City area, we're BioGreen. Get to know us.
A wind advisory remains in effect for the area today as we'll stay mainly cloudy with some flurries and snow showers possible. Temperatures will stay around the upper 20s for highs with northwest winds of 15 to 35 miles per hour. Back to 11 tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 25.
Daddy, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations to the Adams Central Patriots, the Luplat Conference Wrestling Champions over the weekend.
Wood River is runner-up. Our little Doug and Daddy mojo there.
By just 8.5 points, they could have won it.
Speaking about a little karma up the road at Overton, too, have Jay Stare on their pissed at Eustace Farnham, though. They are pissed. I did get a memo.
Overton beats Eustace Farnham. Well, Eustace Farnham has a chance to get back on top. They play Axtell tomorrow in Eustace. By the way, how can not every place have cell coverage by now? Whatever in the Sandhills. How can you not be anywhere in Kennesaw or Eustis or some of these places and have cell coverage? That's all I want to know. Okay. So anyway, and how about to the Grand Island Central Catholic boys? Maybe not so much mojo. We had Coach Schlecht on last week. They fall for the first time this year. But a good ball game overall. 10-point Central Catholic win in a battle of unbeatens on Saturday. The conference brackets are out for the Luplat Conference Basketball Tournament. The Fort Kearney Conference should be out today as well. And we want to remind you that there's basketball tonight. Holdridge plays Northwest in a makeup game, and I will be in, and that's in Grand Island, and Minden is hosting St. Paul in a makeup game. It's Southwest Conference Tournament Week, but Minden's boys and girls are the number one seed, so they don't have to play till later in the week. They get a bye, and so they'll make their games up tonight with St. Paul, scheduled for 6:15 and 8 at Minden. You'll hear it on Classic Hits 98.9. In the Luplat Conference Tournament, the Kearney Catholic girls are the number one seed. Adams Central is the number two seed, Ravenna 3, and Gibbon is 4. On the boys' side, Ravenna's the number one seed, St. Paul's number two, Adams Central is 3rd, which is just hard to believe when you've just suffered your first loss in Class B, and Loup City is the 4th seed. Kearney Catholic will play at Loup City next week. Adams Central boys will host Wood River. Adams Central girls will host the St. Paul Donovan Trumbull winner next Tuesday. Here's a weird story to let you get out of here on the show.
Why? And her nose was hard, hard, black, thick. Something really, really hard.
The brother of figure skating Nancy Kerrigan has been charged with assaulting their 70-year-old father, who died over the weekend after a disturbance at the family's Massachusetts home. A police report says officers responded to a 911 call around 1:30 a.m. and found Daniel Kerrigan unconscious on the floor. He was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. The report says 45-year-old Mark Kerrigan was found in the basement and was belligerent and combative when questioned. Officers used pepper spray to subdue him and eventually arrested him. The report says Mark Kerrigan told officers he'd struggled with his father after the elder Kerrigan wouldn't let him use the phone.
This is just bizarre. Wouldn't let him use a phone? That's what he came up with?
You don't have a cell phone, loser? Evidently they don't get service in Stoneham, Massachusetts. Crazy. Before we weird. There's your new TMZ.
That's off
story.
Of the that's off of the AP. That's not. Oh yeah, that wasn't found on the internet.
That's the real stuff. That's the real stuff. They're finishing up the Bob Hope Classic today. Bubba Watson and rookie Alex Prue tied at 23-under going into the final day. UNK wrestling team, 4 more wins yesterday. Marty Usman gets to career win number 100. They host top-ranked UNO Saturday. Craig Brester gets his 100th win for the Nebraska wrestling team, but they fall at number 18, Oregon State, 32-7. Hastings basketball off over the weekend. UNK women, 0-2. UNK men went 1-1. Husker women, well, we have Kelsey Griffin on. They go 17-0. Well, I mean, you know, there you go. We continue to follow. And they go to Texas Tech. Tough game for them on Wednesday, but the big number is the crowd at the Devaney Center, 13,303. Did you ever think that would ever happen? The men can't get 10.
Nah, Doc Sadler had to be shaking his head.
Well, and the men, they have another long scoring drought. Missouri goes on a 15-1 run from about the 9-minute mark on and beat Nebraska 70-53. They go to Colorado. You would think they'd have a chance. Wednesday night. UNK's Dane Toby shattered the meet, arena, and school record for the shot put Saturday in the Charlie Foster Classic. 4-time All-American won the shot at 61 feet 9 inches. That's the second best throw in all of Division II this year.
Oh, it's a 16-pound shot put.
And finally, we mentioned about Adams Central winning wrestling. Congratulations to Grand Island. They win the top of the Rockies tournament with 32 teams out in Colorado this weekend.
Hey, Coach Shadling on the guys.
So Grand Island does very well in that tournament out in Colorado. So there you go. What are we going to do tomorrow?
Oh, we'll come up with something, Doug. It'll be fun.
We want to thank the president of the Tri-City Storm, Greg Shea, for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today, for all your emails as we discuss the Super Bowl. I don't know. I'm going Indy today. You went Saints.
I went Saints.
I'm going Indy. I don't know about the spread. So that's where we're at today. Of course, we'll make our picks the day before it all gets going. And I want to thank everybody for joining us on the program today. Keep those emails coming. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia tomorrow and a whole lot more.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We'll see you 23 hours from now. Doug and Daddy on Central Nebraska, ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 in Kearney. Hey, and 1550, our friends in Hastings. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!